そうだよね。
Welcome to the Kentuckiana Travel Ball Podcast. I am your host, Teague Ridge. As always, I'm joined by Rick Hines. What's up, Rick?
What's up, Teague?
So, Guardian Baseball, obviously our sponsor, guardianbaseball.com.
Yep.
Please go use this code, Kentuckiana Travel Ball, for an additional 15% off. And it's that time of year where people are thinking about team sales, they're thinking about jersey orders, helmets, cleats, if you want to do Team Oakleys, whatever it may be. If you reach out to team sales at guardianbaseball.com, you also get another discount. So again, guardianbaseball.com, locally owned baseball people, give them a shout. Free shipping, yeah. Free returns. They have a warehouse here in town where you can actually go try stuff on. I know a lot of our people have taken advantage of that. So Guardian Baseball. So no guests this week. I tried really hard to get one of the Valley Station 2002 World Little League champions on, but no luck. So I really wanted to Zach Osborne, who seems like he's kind of got his life together. Now, a lot of those guys do not.
Well, yeah, we've seen the news reports and heard the stories that kind of, you know, here locally, we knew that team, we watched them,
yeah.
We cheered for them, and then the wheels just fell off.
I mean, completely like, fell off, right? And so it was interesting. I know, like, the Alvey kid, who was real good player,
yeah.
He may have ended up in prison. I know one of them overdosed and passed away. I mean, there was
some tragic stories.
There really has, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But man, they were so good. It was so fun to watch. I was actually reliving a little bit. I watched a little bit on YouTube because again, I was trying to get Zach on the show, and it was just incredible to watch them play. They're really good,
yeah.
As opposed to, you know, obviously they're world champions, but, and I know they went on and did like a 13U and a 14-year-old thing and were still really good.
Yeah. I mean, we're coming up on 20 years ago.
20 years. Isn't that wild?
Yeah. It's hard to think.
So Zach went on. So if you remember that team at all, that shortstop kid, he was their best player. He went on and played at Tennessee.
Okay.
And then played professionally for quite a few years. I don't think he ever made it to the majors. Had a lot of years in AAA, but kind of bounced around. But I think he played for like 8-9 years in minor league. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. So he had a pretty awesome career. And now he's the hitting instructor for the Rockies.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, but the minor leagues system. So he's not with the major league, but he is the hitting instructor there. So he went on to have a great baseball career. So
yeah, kudos. Well, we were talking what we wanted to do with this podcast, and we were thinking, you know, the Little League World Series is the big thing on TV right now.
Yep.
Now, we know that's not travel ball. We know it's really not Kentuckiana, but that's kind of nationally the thing going on.
Yes.
People are seeing this Little League World Series on ESPN, which is really cool. See kids our age competing on TV.
It was interesting. So I've always watched that.
Right.
Even when like Talon was younger,
right.
I was like, man, that's really cool. But now we're like that age.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting to watch. So what was your main takeaway? Well, first let me ask you.
I have some mixed feelings on it.
So Gavin Weir obviously kind of took over the world as far as...
Got most of the headlines.
Got all the headlines. Yeah. And the kid can flat out pitch, obviously. Right. But what's your take on him?
Oh, man. Obviously, he's an incredible player. I guess he's 12. He might be 13 now. But
probably.
I mean, it's phenomenal what he's doing no matter what, to pitch no hitters,
no
matter what size field you're on, no matter who you're playing against.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things that got to go right, and not just being able to throw the ball over the plate. There's a lot of luck. Obviously, a lot of skill involved, but... You know, and I think we all heard on the broadcast, he plays for a 14U travel team.
Mm-hmm. So he plays up.
He's a big kid.
Yeah.
Not necessarily big, but tall.
Yeah.
Really strong looking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of funny. You listen to those player intros at the beginning, and you hear the, you know, my favorite player is Mike
My
favorite food, spaghetti. And then Gavin Weir gets on. I like pizza.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's like a man amongst boys.
Well, he's been through puberty
you know?
A little bit there. Right. He's a little bit more advanced than these other kids.
And that's what you get at this age. You get some of the kids that have developed maturity and puberty-wise, and then some that are
now,
still behind.
That being said, Rick, his numbers, I mean, whether you're good or not, there's some luck involved in that too. Basically giving up one hit, and I forget about eight games or something. Something incredible with a few no-hitters.
Who's that kid that got a hit? We need to be publicizing that kid.
Right. I mean, it's pretty incredible the numbers that kid was able to put out there. Whether the mound's a little bit closer than what we're used to playing, right? I'm not exactly sure of the whole setup there with Little League, but I think the mound's 46. Well, their mound's 46,
yeah. Which we were playing 9 and 10U, yep. And their bases are 60. Mm-hmm. You know, basically a 9 and 10U travel ball.
What was he throwing it? What kind of mile per hour?
It's weird. It was the only – I didn't watch every single Little League game this year, but I watched one of his and I watched a few others. And his was the only one where I saw the radar gun actually up on the screen, and he was throwing 71, 72.
Why would they only do – I thought that was interesting to me because I was wondering what – I watched a little bit of the championship game, and I was wondering what that kid was throwing it, those kids were throwing it. But why would they only do that for him? I mean, I guess because
again,
he's throwing
he had
that
all
velocity.
The headlines people wanted to know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, he could flat out play. He was fun to watch. That Michigan team ended up coming away with it. I guess they're right outside of Detroit.
Yeah.
From what I've could kind of tell.
I tell you what, since we are in the Kentuckiana travel ball, kudos to those Midwest.
Yeah.
What is it? Great Lakes.
Great Lakes Valley.
Great Lakes region. Mm-hmm. Which Kentucky is involved in Indiana for producing two of the final two teams.
Well, the Ohio team had a bunch of Cincinnati kids.
Right.
So, you know, that was kind of cool to see, too. I mean, that team...
And I'm sure some of our teams have probably played
I'm sure.
those kids.
Because, I'm sure our teams around our area have played against those kids. They've had to. And they looked pretty good. And there was a lot out there that I thought was interesting. But let me tell you something. From a pitching perspective, not having to worry about base runners is... That's a game changer, in my opinion.
Well, if you're Gavin Weir, you didn't have to anyway, but still, yeah, you're right.
True.
it just takes a lot of stress off your pitchers.
You know, I handle the pitching side for our team. Coach Arnold, Trinity's head coach, kind of helps oversee it, but I hope I do all the kind of the pitching instruction for our team. And what's interesting is a lot of our kids love to pitch from the windup. They feel so much more comfortable pitching from the windup as opposed from the stretch. I was actually having, forget who it was, one of our players the other night was like, I have a hard time throwing strikes from the stretch. And I don't quite understand the mentality of that aspect. But being able to pitch from the windup constantly.
It's a rhythm thing.
Yeah. You know, not having to worry about a kid leading off, not having to worry about picking off. Mm-hmm. It's a different game in a lot of ways. Why does Little League do that, I wonder? I don't quite understand it.
Maybe they've always done it that way. I mean, maybe that's just the tradition, and you know, we don't play Little League, us personally.
Nope.
I know there's a lot of kids that play travel ball and Little League.
Yeah.
For me, it'd kind of be weird to go back and forth from, let's say, playing closer to real baseball, and then go back to Little League, where I think it takes a dip.
I mean, 12 years old
it
seems
kind of dumbs it down a little bit.
Pretty old to not be leading off to me.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been doing it since 10.
Nine.
I can't imagine not having to be able to lead off and pick the bases. It's just...
Right. Steal. You can't steal until the ball crosses the plate.
Right. It's a different game in that aspect.
Yeah.
Did the base pass seem small to you?
Well, they are small. They're 60 feet. I mean... You know, when you get these 12 and sometimes 13-year-olds on these bases, they look huge out there compared to the field. Almost like a T-ball field. Now, the fence distance, it's hard for me to argue with that. I mean, 230
was max.
230 was the mm-hmm. max. That's okay. You know, they're playing with those USA bats, which are kind of dumbed down a little bit versus the travel ball bats that are kind of souped up. So, you know, the fence distance seemed okay to me, but yeah, the base path and the mound is, for me, it's too close.
Yeah, interesting. So before we get off the Little League thing, what a production. What would be such a cool thing to be a part of.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the way that they do the whole thing from, you know, having the interviews with the parents in the stands and the little cart they drive around. And, you know, it's a pretty cool deal to watch. And it's just the production that ESPN puts in, it's just second to none. It's amazing how many people watch it. Now, you and I had a conversation how these coaches are mic'd. And I don't know that I'd want to be mic'd a few times in our games, but I think I would probably know subconsciously, right. Hey, I'm mic'd,
yeah,
and try to say all the right things.
Oh, yeah.
And I assume that's what these guys are doing because they always replay these comments. I'm like,
1,000%.
That was a really good comment that guy made. But, you know, it's like, I guess they kind of know, and they probably play back only the good comments. You don't see many of them just killing their kid.
Right.
The one where the coach went and was talking to Gavin Weir and was like, hey, everybody wants to see you pitch on Sunday, but you're riding this thing out. Kind of cost them. I mean, if they would have kept him being able to pitch, they maybe get to that championship game.
Right.
Interesting decision. Now, maybe they don't get past that game. They don't keep pitching him, so who knows? But
well, it's funny you brought up the mic'd up thing. Yeah, it's cool, but I do think those coaches, not even subconsciously, they consciously knew they're being recorded.
They've got to say the right stuff.
They have to say that, whether they want to or not. I mean, inside they're probably burned up and steaming like we've probably seen before. But, you know, being mic'd up takes that into a whole new consideration.
It does. It was interesting. So the one of the head coaches for, I think it was the Ohio team, maybe it was the Michigan team, I forget which one it was, but in that championship game, he went out and he basically wanted to talk smack about the pitcher, but kind of backed it off a little bit. He was like, well, this kid can't, well, never mind. He kind of stopped.
Himself?
He caught himself because he was getting ready to say something that the pitcher couldn't do to his team. But then he was like, well, and then kind of walked it back. I thought it was interesting. But, you know, that whole mic'd up thing's a whole nother thing, too.
Could you imagine some of these travel ball coaches being mic'd up? I say we do it.
I can't imagine myself being mic'd up. You know, we are going to do, but we're really excited. So we talked to BJ Siegler, and we're going to do some media for October 9th when we do kind of the All-State Showcase.
Yeah.
So maybe we might coaches up there and see what happens. But see, the problem is that's not their team, so they're not, you know.
Right. They will have some good sound bites.
Yeah, it's not their
team.
They're
not invested into that team as much as they normally
do. It's not a dad yelling at his kid, which, you know, that's where my sound bites come from. But anyways, the Little League World Series was interesting. It was fun to watch. You know, my son and I watched a ton of it.
Right.
I wish there was a little bit more coverage on the travel ball side that was kind of like that. And maybe as things go and as travel ball progresses, I know U-Trip's trying to do some stuff like that. Maybe it gets a little bit more like that. But it was fun to watch for sure.
Yeah, it was real fun to watch. And I think some of these, you know, U-Trip and Cal Ripken and stuff like that, they have like the online watch things. ESPN and that 12U Little League is just, for whatever reason, different.
Yeah, you know? It is different. So, Rick, without having a guest, I think what I'd like to do is talk a little bit of fall ball, a little bit of what has transpired in our age division, which is now 12U. Mm-hmm. What I'd like to do at some point is cover kind of all the age divisions, 9 through 13, having somebody that's kind of an expert in those age divisions, because, you know, that's not us, but we certainly know the 12U as well as anybody. So what I want to do is maybe cover a little bit of the 12U today, since we know that pretty intimately. And then moving forward in some of our podcasts, bring on some guests that can talk educated enough about these other age groups.
Yeah, because technically this is the off season.
This is the off season. You know,
not every team plays in the fall. It's, for us, we like playing in the fall just to kind of get our feet wet. And, you know, most of the times we're playing with new players and get a feel for how the team's going to react.
I saw the RBI Bulls 13U. They reached out on Facebook saying, hey, we're looking for 3 to 5 guys to fill out a fall roster. This isn't a full-time ask. We just want to be able to play in the fall because we've got a bunch of guys playing football.
Okay.
Interesting to me.
They just need some like fill-in players just to get through the
fall. Just fill-in players to play in the fall. You know, the whole – and Tige had mentioned this. So, you know, Shrike does the Little League stuff where they keep playing in the Cal Ripken, and they went all the way to the championship game, actually, and I think finished runner-up in the whole deal for their age divisions, which congratulations to J-Town Shrike on that. But he was like, look, this is our capstone. We don't do anything in the fall.
Right.
We focus on football. We focus on basketball. And then we reconvene come March. Which is interesting because I can see the value in that, but I can also see what our kids are getting out of it. Our whole team's kind of in for the fall, and we're going to improve immensely in this fall because of all the different lesson structures, education, the different people that we're bringing in from to kind of make us, help us get better. Man, I'd hate to not have that too. So it's an interesting give and take there on some of these teams that don't do fall, as opposed to people like us, where fall is extremely important.
Yeah. I mean, the strike, for whatever reason, they've done it. They've been successful not doing it.
I mean, yeah, no doubt. You know, not saying that you have to do it by any means. They've proved you don't. But at the same time, I really love what we have scheduled for the fall, and I'd hate to not do that, because we're going to improve immensely this fall.
Yeah, I love playing in the fall. I think it's good for us.
We're playing in the UTRIP ELS League, which actually starts this evening. So we will have our first game tonight. We will be playing the Oldham County team, which made an interesting move. This Oldham County Knights, they went ahead. They had like 13 to 15 kids on their roster all year long. They're like, man, that's got to be hard. Well, they decided to take on 22 and do an A and a B team. Okay. So they have two teams now. We actually play the better of the two teams tonight, they're so-called A team. So, and it's a really good team. We know a couple of those kids that flat out play for a team that's basically based around a little league and nothing else.
Yeah,
that team's got some talent.
Yeah, and they actually do play little league in that either. I guess
it's do North they play Oldham little league?
Yeah, for the most part, I think it's the same team, and they. I don't know if they were that successful this past season, but the season before, they were like the state champs for that age.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where I think this year may have been like Bowling Green or something like that. So they keep their team intact through Little League and all that. So they're playing
Gotcha.
Into the summer, and they probably haven't stopped. I mean, they've, you know, if they're playing in the fall, they've been playing all summer and carry into the fall.
We'll get them tonight, and our expectations are somewhat low because we're a little rusty, to be quite honest with you. Practices have not been quite as sharp as we would have liked them to be. But so tonight will be interesting. And the whole fall thing's a different dynamic to me. And I'd love to have some coaches weigh in on this, because what we're going to do is move kids around like crazy. More so than I probably ever have, honestly. Give people some opportunities and some spots they typically don't get opportunities in. We talked about this in kind of our end of the year evaluations. Some positions some kids wanted to try, and some positions we think we want to try some kids at. Yeah. So we're going to try some of this in the fall. But that also leads for you to potentially lose some games. And I think in our fall, we may lose some games because of how we're moving some kids around and trying some different things. So it'll be interesting.
And we're going to bat everybody that's there. You know,
we're going to roster bat for sure.
Roster bat. So we can move kids in and out. And yeah, you're right. I mean, it's... We'll take our lumps, but that's all right. We're using it more of as a development tool and try to figure some things out. And honestly, from a coaching standpoint, we're going to put players in some positions where maybe we think we're best suited as a team versus what each individual player may realize that they want to do.
Yep, so. Absolutely. So the league that we're in is a UTRIP league, ran by Sean Johnson. He does a great job with it. But I'm a little bit concerned on knowing that that's our game plan, right? And I'm not saying the other coaches aren't going to do the same thing. I don't know if coaches are going to be out trying to win every game or not.
Everybody's probably got a different viewpoint.
But I'm curious to know how you would approach that as a coach, because these games, it's not like it's just on Game Changer. I don't think we're going to be 0-8, but we could come out of this thing being 0-8 because we're experimenting it all the time. Is that a bad look on us because it's all a new trip? And then all of a sudden, so you look at our thing and the power rating's real low. Or do you try to win these games even though they are in the fall? I'm kind of debating this in my head, to be honest with you.
So for me, I think the fall, I hate to say it, but I don't care what other people think. I think it's more from our standpoint and how these kids carry themselves in the fall. And obviously, losing every game is not good for the team morale, and the kids will feel down about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It won't carry us into the spring that well, but you know, we obviously want to be successful,
right?
And the kids want to be successful, but we also need this to get ready for the spring, which is, in my opinion, more important than the fall.
Yeah, I'm with you, and I think that's a really good point. And not caring what other people think is, I'm sure, absolutely the right route.
But it's hard to think that way.
It is. You know. It is. You know, look, we want to do the right thing for the kids. And quite honestly, you get so caught up in winning games. And it used to be, all right, well, you can roster bat, move kids around and pool play. Well, pool play becomes pretty darn important sometimes, too, because depending on who you're going to have to play and winning your pool play games.
Yeah, you don't want to go 0-2.
You really don't. The older we've gotten, it seems like the more important pool play has gotten. Yeah. So it's...
Well, you got coach. You got other coaches like us, and we look at it, you know, oh my gosh, they lost to so-and-so.
Right.
I wonder how they feel about that.
You know. I don't know, man. So I'm debating this in my head on what the right play is, on whether or not, look, do we care at all that we lose? If we go get trounced, because pretty much every team in our league can beat us and can beat us badly if
you still care, obviously. Yeah, you right. still care. And you want to put a product out there that, you know, you don't want to just throw in the towel and, you know, put a kid out on the mound that simply can't pitch, you know. And the kid don't want that either, so... You know, you might throw a pitcher out there that doesn't have much experience, but you've seen it in practice, a little bit of development, mm-hmm. and you want to see how he pitches in a game aspect mm-hmm. versus practice, how he can hold runners on, etc. So, I mean, it's more of a learning experience for everybody, but you still want to win, and the kids definitely want to win.
Oh, yeah. They
every
play
game out there, you want to win.
And the kids definitely want to win, yeah. and... So right now, we're telling all 11, or actually we have 12 now, every guy that they can pitch. And so we need to give a lot of pitching reps because right. we need to figure out who is going to be the top of our pitching rotation and who's not. So if you're listening, I'd love to know your thoughts on fall baseball as a coach. How do you use it? Do you use it as just straight instructional, moving kids around, just trying to get reps? Do you match? Does it matter at all if you win? And on the flip side of that is, from a pitching standpoint, do you give everybody an opportunity? Or what age does it become, you're just not going to pitch? I mean, I know some kids don't want to pitch, but in our situation, all of them do. So as a coach, how do you figure out, is it 12, is it 13, is it 14? And you start deciding, look, you're just not a pitcher.
Well, and you can't discredit your top arms either. They got to get some experience too.
Right.
I mean,
they're going to get
leave
total
them
rust.
Out.
Sure.
You know, you got to get them reps as well. So mm-hmm. it's almost pitching by committee, you know, few innings for each kid. Here we go. Let's see how it goes.
Yeah. And so
could be rough, could be great.
What I do is I create a spreadsheet and I take the innings and I take the number of kids and I move it around and I make sure it's completely even on who sits out how many times, and I try to move around position-wise. Now, our shortstop probably plays shortstop a little bit more just because that's his normal position, first baseman, so on and so forth. But I am going to try to move kids around and give them some different positions, opportunities that they've had in the past. And I do it all in the spreadsheet, and I try to stick to my spreadsheet, and it's tough because you get in these fall games, and it's like, all right, well, if I make this move, we're probably going to lose, but you know, this is what I said I was going to do, and so we go ahead and do it. So it's interesting. We will report back to you as this thing goes on how we feel like that's going. But again, if you have strong feelings one way or the other, I'd love to hear them.
Yeah. You just want to see the kids compete, no matter where they're at, no matter who we're playing. Just compete.
So, Rick, I know you don't have much of this in front of you, and I just jotted down a few notes actually last week.
Nothing in front of me.
Nothing. So, just kind of chime in with what you know, but I am going to go over a few of kind of the big moves that have happened in our age division. So, the Sting team lost their head coach, and their assistant coach, Jason Betts, is now the head coach. Jason's a friend of ours, so we know Jason real well, and his son goes to school with our kids, and so we kind of know intimately what they've got going on. But they're now KBC West. They added three players from Derby City Baseball Club, and then a couple other players, one from a major team up in Cincinnati, and then they just pulled in another kid. I'm actually not sure where he's from. I know Jason likes his roster. I don't know. I know they've played some. They've played some fall. Or some scrimmage games here lately, and I don't know really how well they've gone, but it'll be interesting to see how that Sting transforms now they're over into KBC West. So that would be interesting. What's your thoughts there?
Yeah, we haven't seen this KBC organization yet.
Period.
I think they're out of Lexington area, so they're kind of expanding the West, you know, meaning it's west of
right.
Lexington,
right.
So that's where the West comes from.
Gotcha. So that'll be interesting. Louisville Elite, who we know intimately, Jalen's team is great coach, got a great group of kids. sounded like they added a good player. They took a kid from that Sting, a kid named Chase Hall, left and went over to that Louisville Elite team. So I think they got a little bit better in the offseason. And that was obviously a formidable team to begin with. So it'll be interesting. I'm really interested to see what a Louisville Elite does this year because I think they could be really, really good. There's a new Vipers team, Vipers Klein. So it's weird because it's Vipers Klein, but it looks like Chris Durston is the coach.
Okay.
Now, Chris Durston was the coach of the Jokers, which was a Cage Kings team. And what were they last year? Were they?
Dragons.
The Dragons. Yeah. Okay. So it looks like that's his team. And what's interesting is it looks like they got a couple kids from what used to be the Strikers Roberts team. So I think they actually have, historically, you know, they were kind of a single A type team, but I think they've gotten quite a bit better. So it'll be interesting to see what this Vipers Klein team does. DC Legends, which is a team that we're very familiar with, they kind of just kept their roster status quo. Lexington Bulls look like they didn't have any movement, but I tell you, as a team that we played in the state tournament, pretty good team. They certainly got some pieces that I think they can add on. MC Madness is another team that I think's got some really good pieces. It looks like they didn't have any movement. ELS Bats, they added two or three kids from what looked to be what was this Spencer County Reapers team.
Okay.
So, you know, I know Billy Crutcher and Pat Yorgie didn't have the season they wanted last year. So it'd be interesting to see what kind of talent they added as far as, you know, helping that ELS team. The Spencer County team, Spencer County Smash team reformed. Guy named last name Fowler is actually the head coach there. I know he likes his roster. We've got a kid from Central County, and it sounds like they've got some decent talent on that team. So be interesting to see what the Smash does. Strike, what did he tell me? Tig was pumped about an addition.
Really?
Yeah. This makes really bad podcast when I'm looking something up on my phone. Let me see what I can find here, though. What did he tell me? So they added a kid from the Blue Sox. So the Blue Sox is a team that's got a 13-year-old organization. It's a really good team.
Okay.
This kid was playing up on the Blue Sox, and now he's actually going to be playing with his age group. His name is Logan White. I know he's pumped about this addition. So not that Strike needed.
I'm sure he's pretty good.
More talent, but I think they just added a lot more talent there. So again, to me, in this conversation about our team, or our age group, which is 12U, Vipers, Floyd, which it doesn't look like there was a whole lot of movement in that roster. So that's Chris Burke's son's team, Cameron Hahn's son's team. They are kind of the class, right? Them with the Strike. And then you've got what? You've got the... Well,
you didn't mention those Striker team. The Indiana Strikers.
Which is now the Bulls.
The Indiana Bulls.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And with that Roberts guy, he's got a really good team every year. So, you know, well, they're right up there.
I tell you who looks like neck and neck with them is Strikers McVoy, who are now Indiana Bulls White.
Right. They both left for...
They added a kid from the Sting team. The Phillips kid, who's a great addition for them. And they've been, from what I've seen from what they've done in the fall, they may be the best team. Who knows? We certainly think they have the best player in our age division. Yeah. So, I mean, they could make themselves in the conversation to be the best team there too. So there it's going to be an interesting season. Again, Strike, Vipers, Floyd, obviously that Strikers team, which now both Indiana Bulls teams. The Stars
are now the Iron Men.
Iron Men, right? Mm-hmm. And they're always a really good program. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see who the best team in our area is this year. Another team I didn't mention was RBI Bulls. They've always been a formidable team. I think, I don't know if they've had a whole lot of roster movement either.
I don't think they did much.
They're always really good. Now, I think they changed their coach. So Nathan Thomas used to be the head coach. I think he still helps run the organization, but I don't think he's their head coach anymore. I think they brought in a guy that's not a dad to be the head coach.
That's what they're, you know, putting out there on Facebook. We haven't, I haven't talked to anybody there yet, but that's the implication I've got is they've got a new head coach that doesn't have a kid on the team, And then I think Nathan is still involved, obviously, but
yeah, and I'm sure
he's not technically the head coach.
Because I know he's still kind of running some things there, but I don't know exactly what the deal is there. But they've always – that's a team, man, that over the years, I kind of look at them kind of how we've built our roster. They've gotten better and better and better and better. They're always right there.
Yeah.
It's a formal team that can really beat anybody. So, again, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens with all the different teams. Daryl Davis, who coaches the Makos, also a friend of ours, they are now in the Rawlings Tigers program. And it was an interesting conversation because he was telling us the reason they made that move was the previous year he had a really rough tryout. Look, Daryl's not, he's a firefighter, right? And I don't think there's a whole lot of guys on that team that are, this is going to sound wrong, but internet savvy marketers. And Sean Johnson mentioned this when he was on this podcast. It's really the teams that are going to be better, the ones that kind of market themselves a little bit better when it comes to the ones that don't already have all the talent.
Right.
His whole thing, Daryl, was like, look, I can go to a program that has all this stuff in place. It's a national program.
Okay.
They have the social media. They have the tryout stuff. And there was kids that were trying out for that program that never would have tried out for the Makos, but he has now on his team because of how they promote things through social media and other avenues. So
he can just show up and coach.
Yeah, which is what he does. And it was interesting. It was interesting kind of hearing his take on that. It sounds like they did add some talent, and they've probably improved what they – he didn't have the year that they wanted last year at all. But I do think they're better this year than they were last year. So, again, it'll be interesting to see what that Mako's now Rawlings Tigers team looks like this year as well. Do you remember the team Extra Innings? They were in a couple of our events.
They're up in Northern Kentucky?
Yep. They are now called Wow Factor.
Okay.
And it looks like there's two teams that are Wow Factor teams. Yeah.
I like the name.
So Extra Innings is now Wow Factor. And I'm sure is there anybody off the top of your head that I'm missing?
Gosh, I'm sure there is, but I can't think of anything right now.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to think from the guys that are over in that Southern Indiana League. And then the teams that are kind of in our current league. Again, I don't know if there's any. I'm sure I'm missing somebody. So if I've missed you, I apologize. But I think that's going to be kind of the landscape of 12U this year. And, you know, the goal is for everybody wants to be AAA, right? That's kind of the goal, or even beyond.
Well, if you're single A, you want to get up to double A. If you're double A, you want to get up to AAA. If you're AAA, you want to get up to major. You know, there's always another level ahead that you're trying to achieve.
What's interesting there, though, is BJ Siegler made the comment, you're only supposed to be in single A 1 year. And if you don't move up from single A from 1 year to the next, something's wrong. And maybe it's a coaching thing, maybe it's a talent thing, who knows. But, you know, that's how that thing's built out.
Right.
Now, double A is a different story. I mean, double A is kind of a talent thing. And if you don't quite have the talent to get triple A, then so be it. But, you know, that's certainly our goal. Our goal is to be in triple A pretty quick this season. I think we'll be there. I love what we have organized for the fall, and I think our kids are going to improve and be ready to go after that. Now, again, our fall league games may look funky, but we're playing kids out of position in a lot of instances there. So I'd love to know what the coach – I keep saying this, but I'd love to know what the coach perspective is of should you be deliberately moving kids around and not caring if you win in the fall at all, or does that become a bad look? So I'm hoping coaches chime in on that.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying. We shouldn't care, right?
Well, we shouldn't, but we do. I mean, I'd be the first one to admit that I look at everybody's, you know, I follow a lot of teams on Game Changer. I'm like, wow, how did that team lose to that team?
Right.
And by that much. So, and, you know, sometimes I'll look and realize, oh, they pitched the guy that's never pitched before. Right. That kind of makes sense. So, you know, when you look at it in depth, you kind of realize what's going on. But, you know, we're going to play kids around, but I wouldn't necessarily say we're going to, like, you know, there's kind of a mix. Let's say 2 to 3 kids for each position, mm-hmm. maybe even 4. But, mm-hmm. you know, it's not going to get too crazy, I don't think. But yeah, I mean, we need to give some of these kids some experience.
Yeah.
We might need them, you know.
So I think it's important.
Kid could get injured.
Oh, yeah.
Might have other plans, might go on vacation. So you got to always have a backup, even a backup to the backups. So,
and we've got kids that want to try other spots that we owe it to them to give them those opportunities. Yeah. Even though they might be playing out of position.
Yeah.
And catcher or shortstop or third base may not be where you need to be playing. We owe them that opportunity to give them those reps and see what they do in a game setting.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to do that. One team I forgot to mention, Vipers Kaufman, which is always a really good team too. Yeah. They actually moved. They were an Indiana-based team. Now they're based out of Louisville, according to all their U-Trip certification stuff. I just thought that was interesting. Okay. So, Rick, what is all this roster turnover say to you?
It happens every year. It's just the nature of the game. It could boil down to kids or parents being unhappy with playing time, where they're playing, who they're playing with, mad at a coach, mad at other parents on the team. So, you know, a fresh start, a new look might benefit the kid. I've seen it go the other way too. And not just from the kid's standpoint, you know, teams are having tryouts where they're looking to maybe improve their roster a little bit, and they've got kind of a bottom feel that they replace a kid with maybe some more talent. It just happens, and that's the nature of travel ball. There's always going to be a turnover. There's always going to be jostling around. Teams moving to other organizations. It is what it is, and it's kind of fun to watch.
You know, I'm so grateful. We've been through the roster turnover thing, and quite honestly, it seemed like it was going to be a terrible thing, but on the surface, when it first happened, but it ended up being a really good thing for our team in the long run. But what's interesting to me, though, is I'm so grateful that we just added a kid. We didn't lose anybody,
right.
Which is nice, and I think that says a lot about your team. But, you know, the whole cutting kids, telling them to go to a different situation when they want to be on your team, it's tough.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to exactly – I still haven't figured out how to necessarily do that. And I don't know that I would have – I haven't actually been in that situation, to be quite honest with you.
I think most of the times it's kids leaving on their own. I don't think there's a whole lot of cutting going on by a lot of teams. I'm sure there is, but I think for the most part it's kids leaving on their own.
Yeah. And look, I know that's part of baseball, so I'm not saying
they don't have to get cut. They either realize they would get cut or they just want
to. Well, and I'm not saying if you get cut, any kid's a bad thing. I'm not saying that.
Oh, you hear stories all the time. It was the best thing that happened to me. They cut me.
Yeah.
And that made me get better.
Right.
Like I had to prove myself.
Right.
And that was a blessing in disguise at the time. You know, you hear it all the time.
You know, and I know, like, so I'll quote Jason Betts, who's a good friend of mine, and you know this whole Sting thing, and you know he's like, look, you know, we're looking for a different culture, so it's a culture change for us. Not that what we had was bad, but we want a different culture, a different feel, different look and feel this year. And so I think that's part of what some of your roster turnover is it's kind of just, hey, we want a different vibe than what we've had in the past. And you know, sometimes that's a good thing. But again, your better teams seem to kind of stay intact.
Right.
So, you know, it's...
Well, it's easy to stay intact if you have a successful season.
Right.
Versus the opposite, where you've had a really down season, the morale's not up, and people are mad. And
yep.
It's easy to judge what the coach is doing wrong.
Right.
I mean, it's just kind of a snowball effect. If you have a bad season, there tends to be more turnover.
So another team I forgot to mention was Derby City Baseball Club, who is still intact. They added a non-dad coach that apparently Corey Taylor is really excited about. They did lose Willie Morgan, who went over to join the KBC West and joined Jason Betts. Right. Took his son and a few others over to that team. But Derby City Baseball Club, I think, is still going to be a formidable team as things go on as well. So, forgot to mention that.
It's good to hear.
All right, so drill of the week. Now, we haven't done a drill in a couple weeks. I'm excited to get back into this. This is called the Four Corners Drill. Actually, the drill we have not done as a team yet, but I'm excited to put in. It's something I got off the American Baseball Coaches Association website. So this drill teaches kids about team competition and cooperation, base running, rounding the bases, throwing progressions. It reinforces the skills of receiving the ball while offering kids a fun way to get better conditioned. And it works well kind of every age group. So even if you got the little guys all the way up to you know, your college age players, this is a really good drill. So what you do is you start by dividing your team in half. Line up one team at home plate and the other team at second base. You hand the first player a baseball in each line, and you tell them to run three consecutive bases. So those starting at home plate will end on third base, and those starting at second will end on first. Mm-hmm. Once they've reached the right base, they must stop, set their feet, and throw their ball to the next player in line. The next player in line catches the ball and repeats the activity. So if the player doesn't catch the ball, they must go get it, and they're starting their base, and then they kind of run the sequence. So what you can do is you can make this a race, and it's a really good way to teach fundamentals and conditioning and all kinds of different things, base running, throwing, catching, all in one drill. It seems like it's pretty cool. So players must finish by sitting in a designated area you assign before the drill begins, and whichever team finishes with all of its members seated in the right spot wins first. So it's fun. So I watched a video of it on the website, and it seemed like kids were having a blast doing it. So I'm actually excited to put that in, because I think using that four corners drill could do a lot of the things that we try to teach. So excited about that one.
Yeah, sounds like fun. Have a little competition between the two teams.
Yeah, you know, that's the idea. It's just right. Kind of make it. And look, anytime, I don't know, one of our guests said it. Maybe it was Tyke. I forget who it was. Maybe it was Chris. Anytime you can make it a competition,
right,
it's better, because kids want to compete. Right. And so there's coaches that try to make everything a competition. So, you know, kind of an interesting thought there.
I like it.
All right, Rick. So we've actually went a lot longer than I thought we were going to without our guest. Anything else you want to add before we get out of here?
I don't have anything in mind.
So I'm going to bring back the music. A good buddy of mine, a guy named John Hager, who, it's an absolute shame, this guy isn't a household name. He's a phenomenal musician. Actually helped him do some stuff here recently. I'm going to play. He was in a country band called Wildwood, and they put out an album that had some incredible stuff on it. John wrote pretty much all of it. I'm going to play one of the cuts from Wildwood. It's a great sound, great tune. They're a great band. Check them out online. And again, John Hager, he plays around town all the time by himself, so if you ever get an opportunity to go see John play, he's incredible.
Was he a Railbird?
Yep. He was not a Railbird. No, he should have been. He was as good as some of those. And I tell you what, Railbird needs to figure out how to sell some concessions.
Stories. Yeah, I heard some.
Unbelievable. How does that happen? How do you not realize that there's going to be this many people that want water or beer? I mean, it's like, golly, man. Hey. Whoever put that on, and I've been somebody who ran some festivals and some big concerts. Good grief. How did they miss that?
I heard it was great music, but they needed some changes.
Well, yeah, man. They had Dave Matthews Band. My Morning Jacket was there. Yeah. Billy Keys. I mean, there were some great artists there. And for them to miss that piece of it?
Whoops.
God bless. All right.
Well, hopefully it gets better.
Enjoy the music in the outro. We will be back next week with a guest. I've got a couple different people it could be. What I hope to do is dive into some instruction on some things on this next podcast. So thank you for tuning in. Don't forget guardianbaseball.com. Use the promo code Kentuckiana Travel Ball for an additional 15% off. We'll see you guys soon.
Peace.
Phone lights up 2 a.m. One light text from her that says, I miss you. Wouldn't that you 3 months ago, breaking my heart and telling me that we're through? No, I'm not a gambling man, but if I had 100 grand, I'd bet it all, cause I know that she's been drinking whiskey. That's the only time she ever seems to miss me. My own whiskey. That's the only time she ever gets to thinking. We'll do it all one more time. She'll come out and stay the night and taste that kiss. this, and every time it hits me, whiskey. The hardest part is waking up, knowing that it won't ever be the same. Yeah, you leave again and say goodbye. I'm all alone, drinking off this pain. Oh, the whiskey. That's the only time she ever seems to miss me. That's the only time she ever gets to think, yeah. We'll do it all one more time. She'll come out and stay the night. I'll taste that kiss, and every time it hits me, whiskey, whiskey. She'll take Jack Daniel's over wine. The bottle of the town. She puts those pretty limbs to mine. We walk this road too many times. I broke your heart and you broke mine. And I think my life is finally sinking in whiskey. Wish you'd drink enough and just forget.